We have obviously huge coverage tomorrow night from 6 p.m. to 11 at least. Michael Longer, and then I'll be back on the air Wednesday morning at 5:30. I'll go over to the Farmington Inn and take a nap. We have Reese on the radio joining us in studio. He's here, and he's going to be live with us. Myself and Reese and Tom Shattuck will be there, and we'll have a bunch of people coming through on election night. First of all, you missed Food Truck Tommy. I was going to buy you breakfast.
I had breakfast earlier. So, and I had like two cups of coffee, which is beyond my limit.
I didn't think you needed coffee.
No, I mean, I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
So, you know, we have different types of jobs, and you have a much different audience. Like, you know, morning show, I got a lot of news, weather, and traffic.
Absolutely.
I really try to play it on journalistically down the middle on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you, the shackles are off. You are full blown. Whatever you want to say, you're going to say. And I'm curious, like, what. Where are you and your audience right now as it relates to tomorrow?
It's funny because I think that my job is to, I guess self-appointed, is to talk people off the ledge. Because, you know, so many people are concerned about this election. It's pretty much going toward the most daunting results, right? So they're preparing for the worst.
Right.
And they're hoping for the best. But that preparing for the worst.
For what they consider the worst.
Exactly. Yep. In essence, losing. You know, yep. Donald Trump not winning. And the objective is to look, let's just look at everything from a rational point of view. Yes, here's what our argument is, but I want you to look at their argument. It's important to look at the opposition's, point of view here.
I'm not Trump. So, I mean, right. your audience, that's their best case scenario.
I want you to
be clear about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it, though, from my perspective, and I talk to tons of lobbyists and even people in both campaigns.
Sure.
This is the way I talked about it at the cocktail parties over the weekend. There are four scenarios. He wins by a little, she wins by a little, he wins by a lot, she wins by a lot.
Okay.
I think she wins by a lot is off the table. I think it's either she wins by a little, he wins by a little, or he wins by a lot.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that we're going to know at 11 o'clock tomorrow night.
I got to ask, because believe me, and I listen to everybody in talk radio, and of course, you know, my colleagues here, I listen to them as well. I'm getting a lot of that from people who are playing it down the middle, but I don't seem to understand where they get the idea that this is a real campaign on Kamala Harris's part.
What do you mean?
Some people say that, oh, well, they spent $1 billion on her, they must be serious. How? My argument is, what about Pritzker? What about Newsom? What about Gretchen Whitmer? What about Jeff Shapiro? They are the superstars of the Democrat Party. If Kamala Harris were to win, if there was a real effort for her to win, those guys have to wait until 2032. They are the real stars.
So you're saying they want to lose so they can have somebody else run next time?
Nancy Pelosi is not going to answer to Kamala Harris, who will then be the de facto leader of the Democrat Party.
I think that that's too risky for people who want to keep their jobs and remain in power. But what I would say to you is that my preference was I wanted an open convention.
So
from an intellectual standpoint, I think it would have been a real. It would have made me feel more confident about democracy, right? I mean, I go back to mm-hmm. Lincoln, who went into his convention with, like, I think four others were mm-hmm. vying for the nomination, and the process was ugly, but it came out, and what ended up getting produced was one of our greatest presidents in the history of America.
Absolutely.
So I was really disappointed, but I understand why they did what they did, because they wouldn't have a chance. No, I don't justify what they did.
Go further as to why they did what they did.
I don't think they thought... Without a mandate behind one person, they didn't think they could win.
Okay.
So I think they're trying to win. I don't agree with that. I think they're trying to win. I disagree with this.
Let me say this. I believe, and again, this is difficult for a lot of people to say in the news business, Kamala Harris being kicked off the ticket and going to a convention, a brokered convention or, I don't know, contested convention, yeah. I believe that the Democrat Party was concerned about losing African-American voters. Because they were already concerned about that with Joe Biden on the ticket, because he was hemorrhaging black
votes. But she hasn't galvanized the black vote.
No. I understand that. Okay. But how much worse would it have been for black voters if Kamala Harris, the vice president, wasn't picked? So they pick her, sabotage the election, so at least they salvage African-American voters. Because trust me, they would have lost them this is probably going to be the most controversial thing that you could say. If the diversity hire would have been kicked off the Democrat ticket, it would have sunk the Democrats. They had to do it, and they put everybody else in the back burner, have her lose, and focus on 2028 with Newsom, Whitmer, and Shapiro.
I think it's too conspiratorial.
No, that's not. There's nothing conspiratorial about it. Remember, those are the
three. Well, you can't prove that that's what they're doing because, in my opinion,
I can.
How?
Oh, easy. Everything that we've seen in this campaign thus far, the non-interviews, the repetitive of the from a middle-class background, the lack of a real cogent.
I think they're protecting her because she's not a great candidate.
That's, again, back to my argument, not a great candidate. Why do you push her?
Right, but they felt they had to. But that doesn't mean they're trying to lose.
Again, if she were to win.
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
I think that the feeling was. I actually understand your point. Like, if they didn't go to her, it could offend a whole swath of really important voters
from
the Democratic Party. Having said that, you know, just because she's the vice president doesn't necessarily mean, you know, since she didn't get a single vote in the process, they could have justified having an open convention because, you know, just because she's the VP doesn't mean she should just be handed this.
Let's throw through two more of my theories out there as to codify what I'm saying. Okay. One, Joe Biden says that he's going to throw a support behind her. Even after he drops out and Barack Obama, the titular head of the Democrat Party, says he can't wait for the convention where we decide on our vote. He waits 5 days to finally throw her support behind her on a telephone call. So these things that, in essence, there was no intention. Even Hillary Clinton said a couple of weeks ago that they wish they could have had a brokered convention, but they could not because Kamala Harris was obviously the choice. So there was no real backing for Kamala Harris. Remember, 48 hours before she was chosen, they wanted her off the ticket entirely.
I get it. But I think when they sat down, this is where I diverge. When they, having said all that, when they sat down, or who the they is, or whether it's Pelosi or whomever, I think, I don't think Obama wanted to put his finger on the scales. I think that they said, we either do this or we get blown away. And I think it's the only scenario they looked at. If they could be decisive and then strong arm everybody to get behind her, that was their best chance for a victory. We don't agree on this.
I'm okay with us disagreeing about it. I'm just saying, like, the whole thing is you have a vice president who had lower ratings than the very reviled Dick Cheney. And then during the campaign, they actually align her with the Cheneys. These things are not, they're not done in a vacuum. These things are, to me, they appear to be coordinated. Like coordinated responses to the Trump campaign to sink her. Remember, Democrats hate the Cheneys. Why would you put her with what Democrats consider the devil incarnate?
Well, we got to run, but I think it's because if she can appear with a Democrat, it shows you how much certain Republicans don't want Donald Trump. I mean, I think that's ultimately the symbolic value there. But it is, I mean, that's a little snippet of the conversations we're going to have tomorrow night. You throw Shattuck in the mix, and I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But it's good to have you, Reese.
It's my pleasure.
The conversation, the thing I really enjoy about you is that the conversation is a conversation.
Yep.
It's a dialogue. We're having
absolutely.
It. We don't have to agree.
Yeah.
We can like each other. We can disagree. It's not a problem.
No,
like,
no,
I mean,
not at all.
But I think those are key examples to set for everyone else out there as we move forward.
Yeah.
We thank you for that, Reese.
My pleasure.